Let's get started this morning. We're in the chorus book, number 26. Jason was just playing it. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. good to see you up here today. Let's have an opening word of prayer. Father, we thank you for each one who's here today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to look into it today. Pray that you would be with Brother Welton as he preaches the Word today. Help him to be filled with your Spirit, and may he say the things that you would have him say. And may we be listeners and doers of your Word. We thank you now for our opportunity again to be together. And may you receive the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Couple of announcements. Number one, well, three total. Don't forget, tonight we're going to have an evening service at 6:30 p.m. And as part of the service, we are going to have the Lord's table during the evening service. So you will come and be with us. Hopefully we'll see a lot of those folks that attended the Sunday evening services when we had them. We haven't seen some of them in quite some time. Hopefully we'll see them all tonight. Also, following the morning service, if you would like to stay and have some lunch and some fellowship, the church will be ordering in some pizza and subs, and there are drinks and so forth downstairs. So if you're interested in participating in that, you can certainly do so. It's going to be very informal. You can eat a little bit and talk and head home. All of us want to get home in a reasonable time so we can come back tonight. So hope you'll come and be part of that. And last but not least, Brother Jim wanted me to announce that the new Baptist breads are in. If you did not receive yours yet, please see him and he will get you set up with that. All right. I believe that's all the announcements I know of right now. Let's take our books and turn to number 78. Victory in Jesus.
Whisper a prayer. 81. Whisper a prayer in the morning.
sing, "I'm in the Lord's arms."
God calls us home. If God has us here, there's a reason why God has us here. And it's my desire to finish that course and to keep the faith and keep going forward no matter what's going on around us, but to keep going forward for God.
Amen.
So in Luke chapter 12 here, I want to look at something and look at it in the sense of for us to beware of covetousness. And I think it's very needful in the day and hour we live in the country we live in. I was thinking this morning as I was walking back up to the room this morning, just thinking how good God is to me. To be able to go into that hotel room, to have that bed to sleep in,
yes.
to have food to eat this morning.
Amen.
I've lived in some other countries around the world, and you just can't go over to the spigot and get water and drink it. Just
right.
can't do that.
Yeah.
You get very sick. But you can do that here in the United States, so it's something to be thankful for. I thank God this morning for a hot shower. I thank God this morning that I could breathe, that God kept my heart beating through the night.
Amen.
There's a lot of things for us to be thankful for, but there's a lot of things in this world, in the country that we live in, to be covetous over. Our eyes can quickly wander to what we see or how we feel. We can covet not just physical objects, but things like our health or anything. We can have a covetousness towards those things. So I want to look here this morning at Luke chapter number 12, a familiar story, verse number 13. And I'm going to read through here. Let's pray before we read. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning, Lord, and I thank you for these brethren. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, dear God, you give us in this country this morning. The freedom to meet in your house, Lord, I pray you bless your word. Dear Lord, I have nothing to speak. Dear God, I have nothing to say, Father. So I pray you just lead, guide, and direct in all things. And Lord, that you would help us all just to draw close to you, Lord, that you would deal with us where we're at.
Please.
Father, help us in our walk with you, Lord, that we, as we sang a few minutes ago, to keep our heart in tune with you and not in tune with this world. Father, all that matters is where we stand with you and how we live for you. And I pray you help us to be mindful of that. I pray you help us to stay faithful to it. And I pray you just bless us next little bit here, Lord, as we look at your word. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter number 12, verse number 13. The Bible says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who may be a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he hath, which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and will build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God." The first thing I want you to see here this morning, I find it very interesting, is the first thing you notice in this conversation is that the man shows no regard nor a desire to learn what the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples in the previous verses. If you look at verses number 1 through verses number 12, the Lord is talking to his disciples and those that are all around him. There was an innumerable multitude of people around Jesus at this time. And so Jesus is talking to these people, and some of the things that he touches on, we're not going to look at it this morning, but verses 1 through 12, he talks about things spoken in secret and how they'll be revealed. He talks about persecution that might come upon you because you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord also talks about our value before God Almighty. And then he also talks about teaching and direction from the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 1 through 12 is giving instruction to the people that are all around him. And here you have this man. He's not listening to what the Lord's saying. He's thinking about what's going on in his mind, and he wants to get an answer from Jesus. And how many people come to church, and the whole time they're preaching and singing, they have something else in their mind that's going on, they want God to answer, and they're listening to nothing that's what's going on within the service, or is being spoken by the Holy Spirit to their heart. They're consumed, they're coveting after an answer for a problem that's going on in their life, rather than trying to listen to what God's trying to give them that morning or that evening from the Word of God. Rather, he was thinking on personal issues involving his family member and wished for the Lord to fix it. This man had an issue with his brother. And that's what he's consumed with. And he's looking for the first opportunity to talk to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I want you to fix this. Not paying no attention to what the Lord was talking about in the previous verses. Take your Bible and look over at Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 11. Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 11. Ask you this question this morning. Do we desire to learn from the Word of God? Or are we more concerned with God fixing or granting our fleshly desires? Proverbs number 30, verse number 11. The Bible says this. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Don't tell me the Bible's not up to date.
Yeah, come on.
Don't tell me that this book doesn't have the answers, because if you just look around 2 seconds, go to Walmart for 5 seconds, and you'll see real quick that you'll have children there that are cursing their father, and they definitely are not going to bless their mother.
Preach that, bro.
Right? Look at verse number 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. They look at themselves and they say, I'm good, I'm clean, I ain't got nothing that I got to get right with God. I'm fine, I'm perfect. There's nothing wrong with me. You have no clue what is written in the Bible.
Amen.
There is a generation that they're pure in their own eyes. They have no need for God. And if these people out here today in this just little community would see their need before God, this church would be packed.
Yes.
Brethren, the closer you draw with God, the more you should realize how unworthy you are to come into His presence.
It's true.
Brethren, the more I read and I study my Bible, the more I realize, God, why are you even mindful of me?
Amen.
Lord, why do you even put up with me?
Yeah, you're helping us.
It amazes me that God put up. I'm not talking about anybody that's in here. I'm talking about me. Brother, there's been times in my life as a saved man that I've done things that I knew were against the Word of God, and I did them anyways.
Sure.
In spite of God dealing with me. Because I was stubborn. Because I wanted to please Chris and not the Lord, and I did it anyways. Yet I'm still standing. You want to talk about God's long suffering, God's compassion, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. It's that we're sitting here this morning, and He allows us to keep fighting the good fight. And what I love about my Lord, and I believe this is shown through Scripture, that God gives us space for repentance.
Amen.
God gives us space to make that thing right.
Yes, sir.
God just doesn't quickly come down upon us. God leaves space, God leaves time for you to make this thing right with Him or with others. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, yet they're not washed from their filthiness. Look at verse 13. There's a generation of how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, and devour poor from off the earth, and in need from among men. Look at verse 13. The horse leech had two daughters crying, give, give. Three things that are never satisfied, yet four things say not is enough. That's this generation. Give, give. Covetous. Beware of covetousness. The Bible says in Psalm 106, verse 13 through 15, I'm going to read it to you. It's one of the scariest verses in the Bible to me. Because it says this in Psalm 106, verse 13 through 15. They soon forgot His works. Talking about Israel. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. We better be careful what we pray and we ask God for. Because He may just give it to us. And it may not be exactly what He wants for us, but He's answering our prayer request. But you get leanness into your soul. I'm thankful that God knows best for us. God heard them complaining there in the wilderness. God heard them murmuring there in the wilderness. God heard them throwing a fit there in the wilderness because of what they used to have in the world. And God says, okay, I'll give it to you. But I'm also going to give you leanness in your soul. To where you're not going to have that fellowship with me. Brethren, I'd rather be sleeping on the streets last night and have fellowship with God and a walk with God than have the fanciest hotel room you could put me up in. And be miserable, be sad, be depressed, have anxiety and all that because I rejected God, but I got what my flesh wants. No, I want the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I have that, then I know everything else around me will be all right, no matter what my circumstances are. Listen, you may be going through a storm this morning, and God will either give you grace to go through the storm, or God will remove the storm. Either way, the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
But trust in God and don't lean unto your own understandings.
Amen.
Allow God to lead your life and not what you think you need to live your life.
That's good.
Okay? Because you might just get leanness and you might get what you want. You might get exactly what you want, and maybe God given it to you. But leanness into your soul. Verse number 15, back in Luke chapter number 12, the Bible says this. Jesus looks at him and says in verse 14, first thing the Lord says to him, he said, "And then man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" We're not going to look at that this morning. But what's interesting is Lord looks at him and says, "Who made me a judge or ruler over you?" And then he looks at everybody else, because it says, "And then he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Covetousness, what does that mean? It's a strong desire of obtaining or possessing some supposed good. Covetous means that you want something with an inordinate desire or a strong desire to obtain it because you believe it's going to be good for you. You believe that it's going to satisfy you. You believe that it's going to help you. But in reality, almost I think every instance of the word covet or covetousness is mentioned about, I think, except for two times in the New Testament. It's in a bad context. So most of the time when you're coveting something, it's usually not going to be good for you, but you think it will be good for you. You suppose that this will make it better for you, when in reality it won't. Look at Psalm 49, verse number 16. Psalm 49, verse number 16. The Bible here in Psalm 49 is dealing with riches. Psalm 49 and verse number 16, we'll just read the latter part of it. But the Bible says here in Psalm 49 verse number 16, it says, "Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he died, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself." See, that is the way of the world. The way of the world is right here, bound up in verses 16 through 18. We covet after riches, we covet after glory, but yet you can't take it with you. You can't take your riches with you, you can't take your glory with you. If you've been to a funeral, and you've gone to a gravesite, you have never seen a U-Haul truck there.
Yeah, come on.
You've never seen a U-Haul truck. You've never seen the banker there where they did their banking, saying, "Okay, sir, you had this much money in your bank, and I'm going to put it down in there for you." Or back the U-Haul truck up, all their whole house, all their belongings are in there. No, those belongings stay exactly where you left them when you pull out of the truck. You're taking nothing with you. Absolutely nothing. But the world says this is good. You're doing good. You made a lot of money. You got yourself. You're set for retirement. Everything's going well for you. You're doing well. And that's what you're supposed to do. No, you're supposed to live according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Because look what verse 18 says. "Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee." You got a good job. You got a good retirement fund. You're doing well. You're doing everything you're supposed to do, but you're not living for God.
Well,
"When thou doest well of thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light." Verse 20, "Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perishes." Brethren, understand that the only reason we're here this morning is to bring glory, honor, and pleasure to our God in heaven.
Yes, sir.
That is the purpose of our life. And if we're living for anything but that purpose, we're not going to be happy and we're not going to fulfill his will for our lives. The Lord immediately deals with the heart of the matter. Jesus Christ immediately deals with where this man's heart's at. And this man's heart's problem is covetousness. He's not worried about his brother. He's worried about getting that inheritance. He can care less about what Jesus is saying. "Lord, just fix my problem so I can get my money, so I can go do what I want to do." It's basically what he's telling Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 16 that the Pharisees were also covetous in Luke 16, verses 13 through 15. But the Bible says there in Luke 16, 13 through 15, that God knows your heart, I'm kind of paraphrasing, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What is men? What do men preach today? What is it preached in America today to our generation that's coming up? Get as much as you can get, as quickly as you can get it, and then enjoy it. And enjoy it. And enjoy it. And it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about how you can bring yourself pleasure. And we are one of the most miserable generations that's ever lived on this planet and in this country.
Right.
Why? Because they're consumed with self.
That's right.
And not others.
That's right.
What can you do for me?
That's right.
No, it's what can you do for God?
Hey.
And when you don't live for Him, you're not going to have a happy life. Psalm 62:10 says, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. Riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Back to Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Luke 12, verse number 16. The Bible says here, or gives a parable. Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. He spake a parable and saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The problem with this rich man is not that his fields produced plentifully. That's not the problem. The problem is not that God blessed him. The problem is, what did he do with the blessing? There's nothing wrong with being rich in the Bible. It's what do you do with those riches if God grants them to you.
Yeah.
That's where the issue comes in. So this morning, I don't want you going out here and think, well, God doesn't want me to be rich, or God will never bless a rich person. No, God sometimes makes people plentiful in what they have physically. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's what do you do? Is your heart set on those things? And God gives us some basis on how to deal if God blesses us abundantly. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. God gives a little guideline here. Paul does. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses number 17 through 19. Look what Paul tells Timothy to rich individuals. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Don't get lifted up with pride. Don't get lifted up in your mind because of what you have. It says, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they be good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Mm. See, a rich man, if God blesses him, he needs to keep his mind set on the Lord Jesus Christ and how God may direct him to use those riches. Now, back there in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 19, the Lord talks about a parable, and he says, I'll tear down my barns, I'll build greater, and then I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That is the way of today, as I said earlier. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And the first thing out of this is covetous. Men, in the last days, it's going to be perilous times, but they're going to be lovers of their own selves, and they're going to be covetous. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be proud. They're going to be blasphemers. They're going to be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Brethren, the Bible gives us a clue here that if we're around anyone or anything that puts forth these things that God warns us about, we're to turn away from it. That could be something you're watching on television. That could be something you're listening to on the radio. That could be an individual. From such, turn away lest they draw you in to their world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes we spend too much time in the world, even though it may be a good thing, it's not helping us spiritually. It may not be a bad thing, it may not be something that's sinful, but it's not helping us spiritually. It's taking away and slowly but surely maybe drawing us into an area we ought not to be. And one of those areas is covetousness. Now, I want to finish up this morning with a statement that is made in Luke chapter 12, verse number 20. At the end of that parable, Jesus says in verse number 20, he says, "But God said unto him, thou fool." God said unto him, this rich man that tore down his barns and he built greater, and he said to his soul, "Soul, you look what you've done. Just take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For many days you're not going to have to do anything because of the prosperity that you have." And the Lord says in verse number 20, "Thou fool." That's a strong statement. "Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Thou fool." This is the definition of a fool in the 1828 dictionary. It says, "One who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasure to the service of God and eternal happiness." That is a fool who goes off of his own inclinations and prefers the trifling and temporary pleasure that this world offers rather than service towards God. Now, real quick this morning, I'm going to look at some things of what a fool is. What is a fool? Because the Lord brings an accusation against us, or God brings an accusation against this man. He says, "Thou fool." What is a fool? Number one, a fool is a liar. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:18, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." A fool will lie. Look over at Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs number 26. Proverbs chapter number 26 and verse number 22. Proverbs 26, verse number 22. A fool is somebody that lies and hides it. "The wounds of a talebearer," Proverbs 26, 22, "the words of a talebearer as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone it will turn upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Be careful of someone that will flatter you. Your flesh might like it, but there may be an ulterior motive. And he's a fool. And it may be hard, it may be hidden under some deceit. And he may not really care about you, or she may not really care about you, because they got something else going on in their mind. They're a liar, and they're a fool. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." It makes me wonder if this rich man that God blessed in some ways was a liar, was a flatterer. Proverbs 6, verse number 16-19 gives us seven abominations. And one of them is a lying tongue, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Listen, if you're around somebody and they start talking about whoever your pastor may be, or another brother or sister in the Lord, it's not edifying, and it's cutting that individual down, walk away from it or deal with it. discord among the brethren is something, one sure way to quench the Holy Spirit of God moving in a service. If one person has animosity or is angry at somebody else, that needs to be dealt with. That needs to be confronted and worked out so as not to quench the Holy Spirit, especially in the house of God. Discord among the brethren. He is a liar, and he hideth it with hatred. And he that utters a slander is a fool. Number two, a fool is always right in his own eyes. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So not only does he hide hatred and slander with lying lips, the Bible says a fool is always right in his own eyes. I don't know about you, but there's people I've been around before in this world that are always right. They've never done anything wrong. Anything you say to them, they've done it better, and their way is always the best way. There may be 10 different ways to do something, but their way is the only way. They're fools, because they're always right in their own eyes. And one of the ways that I handle it like that, I sit there and say, that's nice. I don't say nothing. Because I know you wouldn't receive it anyways. Because you're a fool. Because you're not going to, even if I say it to you, you're not going to listen because you're so consumed with your own way. And that's one thing that I need to realize, whoever your pastor may be, they may do it differently. The Bible talks about differences of administration. It may be different, but it may not be wrong. So don't get this mindset that you have those blinders on there like a racehorse, like, well, it's not done my way, it's the only way, and that's the way of a fool. Because a fool is right in his own eyes. Number three, a fool is always confident. It concerns me sometimes when you're around brethren that never show no amount of humility. That's scary. A fool is always confident. Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident. A fool will bust on in there and say, I got this, he's confident, get out of my way, I can handle this thing, I'm right in my own eyes, I got this way. He's a fool. A wise man, a wise woman shows a fear towards God and a life of holiness before God. Because they fear God. Yes. Number four, he despises instruction. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction. That's one reason that we got a mess today in this land. Fathers and mothers are not training up their children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Correct biblical training of the child is not being done. Therefore, look at the generation that's coming up. Amen. They're not being raised, as Proverbs says, to raise your child, your son, or your daughter. And therefore, they will not receive a father's instruction, and they end up becoming a fool. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But what drives it from them? How many people today using the rock version? You see what we got. Mm-hmm. You look in the facilities that I work in, there's a bunch of kids, they have no governor. You know what that rod of correction does? It puts that governor within the heart of that child. Okay, a child can't control itself. It needs to be trained how to control itself. Right? So my three sons and my daughter, I try to do what the Bible said the way my pastor taught it. I try to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I try to use the rod of correction in the correct way upon their little rear ends. And I try to train them the way the Bible says to train them. So when I said to stop, they stopped. Not because I want to be a dictator, but because I need them to stop when they need to stop, because I may see something that they don't see. And you see, if you don't deal with a child when they're this little, when they turn 40, 50, 60, God may be saying, stop, stop. But you're so confident in your way, you ain't stopping because you never trained the right way. And that is the generation coming up today. God may be calling out to them, stop, stop, stop. But because their parents never did it the right way, they're not going to have no ears for the Holy Spirit of God trying to woo them and draw them into Jesus Christ. Because it was never put into them when they were younger. We got a generation coming today, even in our churches, that parents aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing according to the Word of God. Because they're scared. It takes consistency. It takes effort. It takes tears. When you don't feel like doing it, you must do it. Because you'll give them something great when they come over. The ability to control themselves. Self-mastery. to where they don't live after their passions, they live after God. They're not directed by the flesh all the time. They're directed by God. Why? Because you taught them when they were little how to control themselves.
Yeah, that's good.
That's how this country got to be what it was. Not that everybody in this country was saved 60, 100, 150 years ago. No, but they had training in the home, and that's how this country became so great. And God blessed it. But we don't train our children anymore. We do what we see. Ultimately, we're doing what pleases us. And that is what best for the child. Because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to make you feel bad. I don't want to make you cry. I don't want to make you feel... No, that's what's needed. A fool, he despises his father's instruction. Proverbs 13, look at verse number 1. Proverbs 13, 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son will hear his father's instruction. Does your father speak to you? I'm talking about your heavenly father. This morning, did you get any instruction or any guidance or any help from your heavenly father this morning? Did he talk to you? Did he speak with you through his word and prayer? Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible.
Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Proverbs 6:23, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Life's going to be a life of correction. A life is a life of correction. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. But a fool won't receive it. There's a whole message you can preach there in Proverbs 6:23. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, but a fool won't receive it because he's right in his own eyes. Number six, I've lost track here of how I number these. A fool, he cannot be talked to. The Bible says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. You can't talk to him, like I said earlier. If someone is showing these attributes of a fool, that he's a liar, he's right in his own eyes, he's confident, he despises instruction, you can't talk with him. So you say, brother, what do? I say, you pray for him. Because there's one individual, I believe, in this entire universe that can talk to them, and that's God Almighty. God has a way of getting a fool's attention. God has a way of getting a fool's attention, especially if there's believers praying for him. Let God do it. Don't you try to handle it, because they're not going to receive it from you. If you can tell an individual is not going to receive any instruction you might give them, step back and say, Lord, I'm going to put them in your hands, because God, I know you're the master of everything in this world, and you know how and you know what can get their attention. And God, I pray that you do so. And you sit back and you just be quiet and let God work, because they're not going to receive it from you. And there's been individuals in my life that I've seen that they're not going to hear a word I'm saying, but one thing I can do, I can pray for them, and I can pray that God will get a hold of them. Speak not into the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Another thing about a fool is he has a perverse mouth. Proverbs 19:1, the latter part of that verse says, "Then he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." You say, what is perverse? Most time when someone brings up the word perverse or perversion, we think of something sexual, some sexual immorality. It's perversion. But perverse in the dictionary means stubborn. It means literally turning aside, obstinate in the wrong. That's perverse. How many times have we been perverse in our own lives? We're just obstinate. We're just stubborn, and we're going to have it our way, and that's it. It's not the only way. This is it right here. You're a fool because you're perverse. The Bible says that he that is perverse in his lips, and he's a fool in Proverbs 19:1. So if we see that stubbornness creeps up into our life, let us run quickly to the throne of God and ask God, God, please humble me down and help me to walk lowly with you, Lord, and not be stubborn, not be obstinate. I don't want to be the way of a fool, God. Another thing about a fool is his eyes are upon all that he sees. Wisdom, Proverbs 17:24 says, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Another thing about a fool is he sees everything that's out there in this world, and that's exactly what he wants. His eyes are on what he sees rather than his eyes towards heaven. Let's keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. A fool does not want to understand. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. A fool, again, is all about him or her. One of the last two things here about a fool is that he likes contention. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth called for strokes. Listen, if you're around an individual, and you can tell that they just like that contention, they like to argue, they like to complain, get away from them. Stay away from them. Pray for them. Because that is a way of a fool. They like contention. And lastly, a fool's mouth will be destruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. He can't control his mouth and it ends up coming back around and getting him. A lot of young people I work with, they can't control their mouth. They can't control what they say. And they go out there in the streets and they say the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time. And the way society is today, most people pull out a gun, they shoot you and anything, nothing of it. Because they can't control their mouth. And the other person can't control their emotions. So you have the recipe for disaster. You want to know why you have all these riots going on? Because every one of them is a fool. They have no way to control themselves. You offend me, I offend you, and we're going to destroy each other. And ruin everything else that's around us. Hey, let's burn down a grocery store. Why am I going to have to buy groceries tomorrow? But that's a way of a fool. Do you not see? That is a way of a fool. How did it get to that point? It did not happen overnight. You see, the enemy doesn't do things most of the time, bam, and he does it. No, I believe the enemy is like playing a chess game. I believe the devil's been working on this thing back in the early 1900s, and this is what we got now. It just didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. The enemy said, let me start some stuff back in the 1860s with the Civil War back there. You know what I've seen and learned about the wars that this country's experienced since its inception? You know, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and then you had World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Desert Storm. One of the things I saw with, especially the earlier wars, is what did it do? It destroyed a whole generation of fathers. It took a lot of good men out. Think of how many good men died in the Civil War that had character, that feared God. So let me take those men out. They destroy each other. Enemy says, well, I'll wait another 40 or 50 years and let's have a world war. How many good young men left this country in 1918, 1914, when they left to go over? How many good men that loved God, feared God, had character? Even men that didn't love God or knew, they had character. They knew how to raise a family because of the way their grandfather and their father taught them. Now let's ship them overseas and how many men died in that war? They didn't come back home. So who raised the children? And then let's get another war, another 30 or 40 years, World War II. And let's send another group of good men probably that went over there and let's kill them off. Who's raising the children of that generation? Why the 60s and 70s were such a mess? What happened in the 40s? And then you get to 60s and 70s. Well, let's send whatever may be left over to Vietnam for 10 years or so. And let's kill off another group of men. You see how many groups of men were destroyed in this country over the last 100 and some years? So who's left to raise the children? I'm not saying a mother can't raise a child the correct way. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but you're missing a big group of men through that whole time period there that had some character. And here's what we got. We got a generation of fools. And I speak that humbly. I don't say that proudly. It breaks my heart because I deal with them every day in the juvenile center. You got a group of children that have a hard time sitting still to even listen to anything you got to say, and it's no fault of their own. It's the way they've been raised. It's the way their mom has been raised. It's the way their daddy has been raised. This generation, who produced this generation? Right? Brethren, if you take an apple seed, I'm almost done, but I want you to think about this a second. You take an apple seed and you put it in the ground and it grows up and it's about this high. What does a good farmer do? When he sees those flowers start coming out of an apple tree, he goes through and he takes all those flowers off. Why? He don't want no apples growing on it yet because it can't handle the apples. What happens if you let that apple tree grow? I was looking at my father-in-law's apple tree in his yard yesterday, and I said, man, that's a pretty messed up looking apple tree. And I ain't thinking nothing of my father-in-law, but I'm thinking that tree was never pruned the right way. That thing is all crooked, all messed up. It produces apples, but it's messed up. Right? You take all those flowers off because you don't want that thing growing up because it can't handle the apples yet. And that's why you discipline a child, because it can't handle itself yet. It ain't been trained to handle itself yet. It ain't been put in situations that it can handle yet. And that's one of the problems with public school. You're sending these kids into a situation that they're not trained or able to handle yet. And it creates a mess. They hear things, they see things, they get involved in things they ought not never to get involved in at that age. And again, I'm not blaming nobody. I'm just saying this is what it is. We got a generation that has no clue how to train or be trained. So you take all those flowers off because you don't want no apples growing up, because if the apples are growing up, it's going to mess the tree up. It's going to crack. It may not kill the tree, but it's going to mess that tree up. And then when that tree grows and it's 10, 15 years later and you ain't done nothing to it, it's going to be a mess. But God, can God come in and clean that mess? Yes. But you can't just do it with your fingers. See, when it's this big, you can do it with your fingers. You can come in there with maybe a scissors and you can prune it. It's easy. It's easy to deal with. You ain't got to get on a ladder. You can handle it right here. And it's easy to contain. But when it gets 15, 20 years, a tree, can it be fixed? Yeah. But you're going to need ladders. You're going to need chainsaws. You're going to need other help from other men. And it's going to be hard work. Can God do something in your life when you're older? Yes, but it's going to be a lot more difficult than when you handle it when they're 2, 3, 4 years old. I wish my parents would have whooped me more. I'm serious, man. Now I look at it now. I said, man, I wish my dad would have whooped me more. So I wouldn't have to deal with the things I got to deal with today. Put that governor in there. What does a governor do? It keeps you from going to speed that you might want to go. You may be able to roll out at 70, 80 miles an hour, but you got that governor in there. And God says, no, son, I want you to only go 20 right now. That governor is the Holy Spirit of God when you're saved. But when, if they're not saved, that governor is your conscience. That self-mastery you can put in there when they're little. We got a lot of people today that have no self-mastery. They have no way to control their passions, and they're moved by their emotions. And that's why we have what we have today. We have a generation that cannot control itself, a generation of fools. And guess what? It's going to be real hard to reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they're going to despise your instruction. So you say, Brother Chris, how do you do it? You live for God before them, because you'll make them scratch their head. And God can do a work that only He can do. Don't be a fool. Are you covetous this morning? I ain't even talking about physical things. I'm talking about just, it may be something that has nothing to do with anything that's physical, or something you can put your hands on. But your heart ain't where it ought to be this morning. I don't know. I have no clue. Everybody might be fine in here. But I just want you to think. I tell those kids in the juvenile center, my whole last 16 years working with them, all I want individuals to do is think. Take some time and think. Where are we at with the Lord? May God help us not to be a fool. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, you're good to us, dear God. Lord, you're wonderful. You're amazing, Father. And all glory, adoration, and honor you deserve. And Father, I pray, Lord, this morning, myself, Lord, about me, Lord, if there's times in my life where I let some of these things creep up that a fool does, Lord, I pray you'd correct me quickly on it. And Lord, I pray I'd make it right with you. Lord, I pray you'd help these dear brethren to just live for you, to draw nigh to you, to draw close to you, Lord, to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we, Lord, we just ask this all now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren.